A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled, Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Things getting wild in Atlanta as we're watching this thing unfold, and we're trying to figure out exactly. I mean, at the end of this game, it's gotten wild. The Jazz are going to be tipping off in about, I'd say 8 or 10 minutes because of this game being pushed. They might go into overtime, and then they might have to push it to, an ESPN2 or whatever.
Push it to tomorrow?
I don't know. You know what? Considering the injuries the Jazz have had, please.
Hey, right? The Jazz are playing tonight. So
the Jazz are going to be playing, and Donovan Mitchell and Mike Conley are both confirmed to be playing this evening. And your Utah Jazz are going to be at full force, albeit their legs might not necessarily be at full go. They are definitely going to be cleared for tonight. And I don't know what that means for Jazz going forward into Game 6 and Game 7, but the breaking news, of course, tonight is they are going to be playing, and we're a few minutes away from this thing going off as well. Greg Rubel, we're going to try to get him on the horn here. He's the voice of the Cougars. One of the things that we've been trying to understand about this BYU Media Day yesterday was, Scott, and maybe you can give me some insight too, because as teams start to look at this, I mean, as soon as the name, image, likeness thing has started to catch fire a little bit, we've noticed, and Utah did it yesterday, they immediately said, hey, we're jumping on board on this too. We don't know what it looks like, but we want to be on board with the name, image, likeness thing as soon as we can. And so to have Utah get on board the same day BYU did was a massive deal as well. Joining us right now on KSL's Unrivaled, he's the voice of the BYU Cougars, Greg Rubel, joining us on the program. Greg, thanks for being on the show, and quite a media day yesterday. Lots of announcements that weren't even necessarily directly football-related, but, boy, they affect a lot of things.
It was good to see you yesterday morning and good to be on tonight with you. Yeah, and first and foremost, it was nice to be back in the building,
yes,
right, for a media
yes.
day we didn't have in 2020. And it just means the start to a season. And last year at this point, we didn't know what kind of a season it would be, you know, to be played. As it turned out, BYU cobbled together a pretty good 12-game season. But at that point, it was all just hope and speculation. So to be able to have a structured, regimented media day again felt really good. And yeah, there was some news made. And while it's not truly all football-related, I think it's prominent relative to what BYU's doing in the national landscape with NIL forthcoming. It was a really kind of a four-step ahead for BYU. And, Kalani Sitake, he has the word built is pretty consistent in his mantras. He's had, built, not born. He's had the More to Life Foundation, now the Built for Life Foundation. Mm-hmm. And so I think Kalani has some great initiatives, too, that are personally showing up in different ways in the program. So it's an overall positive experience we had yesterday. And it was nice to see, coaches and players circulating and talking X's and O's again. It had been a while.
Greg, it appears that this name, image, likeness situation, that BYU's got out ahead of it and really embracing it. And how do you see that as it unfolds? Does it help recruiting? Does it help? Where's the benefit for the program to have this and to be a part of it?
Well, I think the benefit comes in structure and in association and in partnership. By involving the Salt Lake Chamber, the Utah Valley Chamber of Commerce, and Silicon Slopes, those are three pretty good heavy hitters to have, from a local standpoint. And there will be more partnerships to come. But for students coming to BYU, student athletes coming to BYU, they have structure in place, and they can be assured that BYU will be ready, when the legislation passes and opportunities are truly, given in writing, if for lack of a better term, to these student athletes, to further their progress with branding and otherwise. And I think the fact that it's an initiative that goes beyond just NIL and beyond just branding and beyond opportunity shows that, Kalani wants this to be a pretty wide-ranging and comprehensive approach to a student-athlete's experience at BYU. So I think what Gary Verone, the new associate AD, and Billy Nixon and the Build for Life program can present to student-athletes is a real belief that that they're not just waiting for things to happen, they're helping things to happen for student-athletes before the rest of the world maybe catches up to what's going to happen down the line.
Greg Rubel, voice of the Cougars, joining us here on KSL's Unrivaled. Greg, the other big news obviously was at least the anticipation of the possibility of a 12-team playoff, which is the direction that this seems to be going. At least the traction is happening, which means they're allowing for these things to be talked about, which means that we might be headed there in 2 or 3 years. What does that mean for BYU? Because we heard Tom Holmoe yesterday referring to any possibility and any avenue that they could find themselves in a better spot to get to that college football playoff. They're going to find that way to get there. Is that a G5 join that you see happening in the next couple of 2 or 3 years for them to be able to be in a better spot to get into the playoffs?
Well, I have a couple of thoughts on this, Alex. And the first one is this. If BYU were to stay independent, a 12-team playoff gives an independent BYU the best possible chance to be in the mix. That's the first thought. The second one is BYU wants to be a part of what we call a P5 conference. Now, it's true that the P5s, if the current working group recommendation gets approved, all P5 in top six. And so once you open it up to top six conference champions, suddenly a really good G5 has the same kind of heft and the same kind of entree as a P5. And now suddenly you wouldn't necessarily have to hold out for P5 membership to feel that you're getting a P5 chance to play with the big boys around New Year's Day. That's a big distinction. If they simply say top six conference champions, well, then the ACC conference champ or the Sun Belt conference champ or the Mountain West conference champ has as good a shot as anybody else of being in the playoff. And so that kind of changes, in a lot of ways, what the expectation would have to be for BYU to play, in those biggest games. If you can do it some other way, you don't necessarily have to have a P5 say, come join our league. There might be other avenues. And so those to me are the two main takeaways that whether as an independent or joining a conference other than a P5, you might still have an exponentially better shot than you currently do have as an independent. But I think ultimately, top tier athletics and top tier football is what BYU wants, however you want to define it.
Let's get to football.
I mean, Scott's so mad right now with all this administrative stuff.
I think it's awesome for BYU, whether they're independent or in a conference, there's a real shot to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
I don't think that was the case in the past. And so that it really changes the dynamic because you can set up a great schedule in independence and you have a great relationship with ESPN. So they're independence all of a sudden got real sexy. So I'm just curious. Who's going to be the quarterback? Come on, you got to know, Greg, and you can tell us. We don't tell anybody. No, look, no one listens on a Friday night, so you can tell us. Tell us who's going to be the quarterback this year. Who do you think it's going to be?
Well, I really do believe Aaron Roderick in the things he says, and he's able to, list off positive attributes for three. They appear to be three very different quarterbacks, right? And you say skill set and style of play, BYU might have to adapt for whoever they choose to be their starter. But Aaron was drilling down on this point yesterday that they're not as different as you might think these three guys are from each other, and that either of them can win in the style BYU hopes to play. And so I think that's saying if it's Darren Hall, he doesn't have to be running around every second down to be effective. And if it's Jacob Conover, that doesn't mean he can't run around and be effective. And so I think what Aaron was underlining was similarities more than differences. Yet we've seen with our own eyes, Baylor Rondy and Darren Hall in previous performances, each of the different ways that make them exceptional candidates. But I think it's fair to say, as an overall all-around athlete, you know, Darren Hall presents a unique package among the starting candidates at BYU. And not to say that he'll be given more of a shot than anyone else, because I truly think it'll be an open deal. But I think BYU played some of its best football in 2019 after Zach Wilson went out, when Darren Hall was kind of firing on all cylinders.
Greg Rubel, voice of the Cougars. Greg, we're going to have you back on when camp approaches, and then we're going to ask you the same question. And so we appreciate you joining us on the show. And go Jazz! Wherever you're watching the game, we appreciate you being on the program here with us, Greg.
Guys, thanks. Anytime.
All right. Taking the break here. Aaron Roderick said it. He's going to try to figure out how to split up those reps. Excited to see how that happens. We're going to take the break here when we come back. Our weekend.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.